Hello and welcome to Law and Order S Review here on Fanversation. I am Yael Teagle. That's Taylor Gates. Hello, Taylor Gates.
Hello.
Hi. Happy Monday, everybody. We are talking season 25, episode 7, Probability of Doom. Before we jump into it, if you need help, if you're in a situation where you need to reach out to someone, please call RAIN. Their number is 1-800-656-4673. 1-800-656-4673. Taylor, what does that spell?
It spells hope.
It does. I remembered and did not keep going without you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm really proud of myself.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm on top of it today.
Love that.
Before we jump into this episode, if you've never enjoyed a S review episode, welcome. Sometimes the show goes to really dark places, handles really dark issues. And when that happens, we make light and find a way to process and do that through humor. So consider this your content warning. I guarantee I say some shit this episode. Before we jump into season 25, episode 7, Probability of Doom. Hello, everybody. We have people live in our chat. Thank you for joining us on this Monday. Deanna is here. Alexa is here. Nobody leave because we've got exciting stuff after our discussion. But here's the quick cap for Probability of Doom. When a woman turns her husband in for possessing child pornography, the case is complicated by a sudden death. Benson tries to reconnect with a victim she saved. Taylor, we'll start with like the main episode and then get to the Maria stuff. But what did you think about this episode in general?
Good for Tori. Why are we mad at Tori?
100%.
Sorry. Good for Tori. She's crazy. She enjoyed it. Okay. I'm glad they're gone. I don't think she should apologize. But in all seriousness, like, wow, disturbing. But in, like, kind of a interesting way, like, those bodies were chopped. Those bodies were chopped up. And I was with Curry in that I would not handle that well. I would not handle that well. But it was interesting. And I really thought the woman who played Tori, I'm sure you have her name pulled up, so good. And the girl that played Nina too. Both of them were just amazing together. And they gave me such genuine sister vibes. And I just like loved those two a lot. So
we usually do actor shout outs a little bit later, but I agree with you so much. I love this episode so much. I had no idea who it was. I got confused at one point, which is not for those who've watched us before, I'm usually like, this is who did it. And I figured it out already. Loved this episode. Really threw me for a loop. Here are the people that need to be applauded in this episode. Tori Brock was played by Sarah Lynn Marion. Sarah Lynn, I want to see you in everything. I want you what an amazing performance. We're going to jump around so much this episode. The entire interrogation early on when it was her, Benson, and Carisi, I 100% believed it was the father. At no point did I was like, there's no way it's her. This woman, something else is going on, but there's no way I'm ever suspecting her. Fantastic performance. Nina was played by Fiona Morgan Quinn. Lisa Miller, who was the pregnant lady at the beginning, played by Anya Whalen-Smith. I was very distracted during all of her scenes and think I missed most of what she said and had to rewatch it with my eyes closed.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Look, pregnancy looked great on her. Anyway, where were we?
8 kids.
Yeah, no, that's head a little bit above the kids.
I mean, I know what you're referencing, but you can, like, you having...
I was so
distracted on camera.
I was so distracted.
I was gonna say, is it just that, or is it like the pregnancy thing? Okay,
it was just
good to know.
Above that,
we need to make that very clear. This is a safe space.
Thanks. No. For those who've never seen our show, I'm not a fan of kids. It was above the pregnancy that was distracting me.
Sure. Okay.
You saw what I saw, yeah?
I saw what you saw. I just wanted to clarify what the distraction was stemming from.
Not the kid.
Yeah.
No.
Well, it's going to be a kid.
Whatever, not that.
The fetus.
Not the fetus.
Let's hope not. Anyway.
Oh, gross. Anyway, those are some shout outs. this episode was so good. Alexa in the chat says Tori was channeling Dexter. Better than Dexter, I would say.
And good for her.
Yeah. This episode was written by our showrunner, David Graziano, and Nicholas Evangelista. It was directed by Martha Mitchell. I have no complaints on either side of those.
No, I thought this was a great episode.
I loved it. Let's talk about our story then. Let's start at the beginning before I got distracted by pregnancy boobs. The way that we're dealing with Curry and Finn and Velasco and this weird tension, who cares?
It's so weird. It's so weird to me. I don't get it. Why is Finn being like this?
I don't know. I also...
Protectiveness over Olivia, because like Olivia doesn't want you to be a bitch to her, I promise. It's so weird. I don't like it.
I don't like it either. I also want to know what's with the baked goods. Like
it's fine. I'm glad it is kind of like a gag now and it wasn't just a one-off, because the one-off would have been weirder. So I'm like, okay, like it's fine. Like it shows her personality, I guess. It shows that she's trying. So honestly, the more they do it, the less I'm like mad about it. Because I'm like, okay, at least it's like a thing now. It's part of her shtick. So
I agree with you. I like that it's a consistent thing. I look forward to the day when Finn goes, where's the nothing today?
You don't deserve it. You're being such an asshole.
Also, Velasco and the walk-in, that was the most confusing situation. Is Velasco new? Did he just get here?
Seriously, did you ask her? No. Maybe next time you should.
Did you do your job? No.
Yeah.
Why are you here?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a real you know me, I love to nitpick. So our guy Wade Miller is staying in an Airbnb and we go to find his Airbnb. Fun fact, everybody, Airbnb is not allowed anymore in New York. Like, it's not a thing. It's against the law. The fact that all of our police officers are not.
We gotta shut this guy down.
Yeah, like I know it's a stupid law, but I'm just saying. Deanna in the chat points out something that I also found very interesting. The only black main characters having beef. Really? Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. So I do appreciate the heinousness of the crime, thus causing Curry to throw up, felt like reasonable to me. And I appreciated it. And then later when Finn does the thing with the coffee, it reminded me of one of the times they went into the morgue and Munch offered him Vaseline or whatever, vapor rub to put under your nose. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ooh, this is the moment. This is the turning point for them.
Yeah, I did like that. I thought that was smart too. I was like, oh, I guess that does make sense to like burn the coffee beans. I thought that was
old nice school.
Little hack. Hey guys, if your house smells like a dead body,
oh Taylor,
coffee beans on the skillet, babe.
I love you.
I'm not wrong.
You're not wrong. That takes us to I got really confused with the like photo shoot with the vintage car and then the photo shoot at the, or like the footage from the park and the, it took me to the second viewing to like follow along. So they found his body and then through that they found the photos of the girl in the car. Then they found the car that found us the tracker. The tracker was started at the park. Then they found footage from the park. It felt like too many steps, right?
Yes. I was also so confused. But I was just like, I'm just going to go with it. Like, I don't know. I eventually got where I needed to be. So I was like, the journey to get here, it, you know what, it is the destination that matters, no matter what anyone says. It's not the journey. It's not the journey. We got where I needed to be, and that was fine. But I'm so glad it brought us to Brendan Chestnut, our car guy. I loved him. I thought he was so suspicious. I was like, this man did something. This man did something.
Brendan Chestnut, played by Ruben Javier Caballero. Amazing performance. I absolutely loved him.
He's too eager to be had not done anything. You know what I mean?
I know that we're not going to see him probably unless we have another car, but I loved it.
He's great. And we'll be like the nurse, where we'll just, whenever we have a car thing, we'll just bring in Brendan.
Now we need to have more car things.
Agreed. I loved him. I was like, what is wrong with you, actually, because of something up. But he was so fun. I loved him.
Somehow we get to another victim, Gary Turner, who is on the registry for sex abuse of a minor. We find another tracker. First of all, I didn't like her interrupting, but whatever. Or that
can you wait your turn?
Like, and at the first crime scene, I understand that she was taking charge, but it felt like she was like aggressively barking orders.
I agree. I was like, let them finish and then you can say your thing.
Everyone else seemed chill and she seemed stressed.
Yeah, I agree. I was like, all right, let's just like bring it back a couple notches.
Yeah, it felt like a weird choice for them to do for her, but okay. So after Gary Turner's death, we have this moment where Benson and Curry, because it's a different ship. They mentioned that someone's going after child predators, a serial who's going after child predators. And I think the word you're looking for is vigilante, and we support them.
I think you mean queen?
Yeah, I think we applaud this person.
We stan? Okay.
I had another shout out I was going to give and I lost what it was. Oh, we find the girl. I want to talk about the girl. Where are they? Nora. Nora Boyd and her mother. Nora was played by Caprice Alexis and her mother, Kim Wintermako. This woman.
She also had something to do with it. Her and Tori were working together, legit, because they both had that same kind of vibe to them. And I was like, those two have teamed up. Like, I can't believe she had nothing to do with it.
I loved this mother. I loved her so much. Although my only problem is when she says, you don't think I can fill in the blanks of the who and what this Wayne Miller guy was up to? And the girl says, what blanks, mom? And I went, you're a bad mother if your daughter couldn't put together the who and the what of what this guy was up to.
Yeah. She also just like didn't seem that concerned that Nora was like talking to this man. I was like, I feel there needs to be a little more fear and urgency here.
You just said that you've put together the who and the what of what he wants, and you're not concerned that he had your daughter alone in a car?
He is just playing the lottery a lot of times.
As Alexa asks, what was with the scratchers?
I loved it.
It reminded me of the gum.
Yeah, it was a little like the gum.
What? Well,
I don't know, but I was here for it. Like, having your nervous tick be doing lottery scratchers is insane. I'm obsessed with it.
It's all right. I'm waiting for like the gum and the lottery, like all these bit pieces,
yeah,
to matter.
The network is like, listen, these interrogation scenes are getting a little stale. You need to be spicing it up. Like gum, lottery tickets. I'm just juggling next episode, like, for it's never ever.
Like, it's like a shoe shine.
Yeah. Just like the most insane things that can slip in there, they should, you know.
Sorry, I'm playing Angry Birds.
Sorry, yeah, what was that?
Okay, this gets us to the K-Dome app. Thoughts on this app?
An app just for ketamine delivery? Okay, I guess. Like, I don't. That feels really specific, but those do you.
If I were trying to make an app for ketamine delivery, my instincts would be to team up with a weed delivery. Mm-hmm. They already have the app, the infrastructure, the client base. Like, I would not start because it's a much smaller market. I would team up with, if not weed delivery, booze delivery.
Just go with Uber Eats.
Postmates.
Yeah. DoorDash X Ketamine. My new collab is coming.
All right. But this all got us to a username Previous Yam.
Like, what was that? What are we doing?
I have questions on that.
Oh, many, and none of them were answered, I fear.
Which got us to the Brock family. When they broke into the house and there was the sound of giggling, did it or did it not sound like a recording of like giggles on repeat and not a person?
I didn't pay enough attention to notice.
I only, because I was like, they were like, what is that sound? And then Finn goes, it's girls. And I went, I don't think it is. I think that's like a sound effect button.
It's like a horror movie, children laughing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then this whole, I like the interaction. I like and hate the interaction between Benson and Tori, mm-hmm. As to where they're going to take them. Because yes, Nina was a child, but Tori is her 21-year-old sister.
Yeah, I thought that was strange too. Because I was like, if she was like 17, then yeah, that's a different story. But when we found out she was 21, I was like, that doesn't really make sense.
Right. She is a minor who is being watched by her sister.
Who's an adult legally. Who's
a very legal adult while her parents or her dad's not there. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, Tori wasn't a suspect in any way. So the idea that they treated... like, it felt like they were treating Tori, like, suspicious for some reason.
Yeah, and I guess, I get that they were taking advantage of Tori not knowing the law, probably. But I also have beef with that because, yeah, obviously Tori, like, and this is just what the episode, this is not what I actually think. But I feel like they're like, she works construction or whatever. Like, she's like got her GED. Like, she probably doesn't know all the laws about this stuff. But I don't agree with that because she cares so much about Nina. I feel like she would know every law pertaining to that situation inside and out, even this. So I thought that was strange on all fronts.
I mean, it did seem like she knew at least a little bit. One, she knew to be like, we don't have to talk to you. And two, to call a lawyer. She's yeah. One of the first times that somebody knew smart enough to not talk to them without the lawyer, to be like, I want a lawyer and I'm not talking to you until the lawyer comes. So the fact that she wasn't like, I am her guardian while my dad is away, even if legal or not, on paper or not, like, she is her sister and an adult and lives there.
Yeah.
Her being like, we can step out together while you know, they have a search warrant. Fine. But like, we are not being separated. It was surprising. And then we found the father's body. I appreciated that they suspected, at least at the beginning, that Benson and Creasy suspected that the dad was on the run and that he did this. Because there's no way to jump that we should have jumped to Tori. And I almost think that it should have been even... they should have been even hesitant when it seemed like it was going that way. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, obviously something else is going on here.
I guess, like, I didn't have an issue with it because the minute they started catching on to that, I was like, oh, the dad did something to Tori. Like, because like, it's this show. Like, and that's what, that's just, like, what I'm primed to think when it's SBU. So I was like, okay, I it didn't, like, feel overly convenient to me because I was like, okay, like, now when he turned up dead, I was like, he's one of these guys and it's probably related to that, because I don't know, the pieces seem to fall into place after that.
Oh, for sure.
Being SVU.
Totally. I think before they found his body, it would have never crossed my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really loved the way that this all wrapped up, except for, you know me to nitpick. Okay. So at the end, Tori's going away to prison. And then Benson says, so Nina asks, and Benson says she's going to get the help she needs. They're going to take care of her. In prison?
Right. I was like, she should be at a hospital and getting therapy. So that was weird. So I was like, yeah, she could absolutely have to go to like a psych ward, I think. And like, maybe that's more true, but like also be so real. Like psych wards are not really the best place to be either. But it would have made more sense because they're not getting taken care of and getting help in jail. No matter what programs there are there, that's not the point of American jail, unfortunately. So
she's not getting any help. In fact, yeah. She's going to come out worse. Yeah. But then when she says to Nina that they found their grandmother, she's going to come here and she's going to take care of you. Would you like that? My response as Nina was, no, I would like my sister back.
Yeah.
No, I don't want this random stranger you're telling me is my grandmother who's now going to... No, that's not what I would like. I'll deal with it, but that's not what I would like.
Right. It's like, okay.
It just felt like a stupid question. Would you like that? No, but I don't have a choice.
Here's what's going to happen. Do you have any questions? Like, that's... yeah. Like, she doesn't have a choice either.
Right. Your life is destroyed. You good?
Yeah. So we're not... Yeah, okay, cool.
all right, let's talk about, unless you have any more about the case, I want to talk about the Maria stuff.
Through my notes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay. The Maria Racino stuff. Obsessed. Loved.
Yeah.
So happy. Try not to swear there. Our adult... Why? I don't know. Our adult Maria Racinos is played by Manny Montalvo. Sorry, Danny Montalvo. Wow. All of a sudden, I could not see my words. incredible to see an adult Maria. I hope that young Maria got her resi checks for appearing in this episode.
I was like, the only thing is that it would have been so nice to see the OG, but like, who knows if she's acting anymore. Also, I think the voice and the face are different Marias. If I looked on IMDb, and I think that's the case.
But I think that's true, which honestly is the moment where, right before the hug, when she shows her the article, I really thought that we would get to hear, and this is just a me thing, is Maria saying Olivia. Because of the way, like the way she said it in the episode is so specific.
Yeah, you're so right. That would have been so nice.
I was like, she's going to say Olivia. Like, she's going to say it.
Yeah.
And then she didn't at all. And I was like, that's fine. That's fine. That's a me thing. That's fine.
Yeah, you're right, though. That would have been, like, really cool. Here's the thing. I loved it. And this is the benefits of the show being on for 25 years, because you can actually do stuff like this that's not just like time skipping. Like, that's really cool. Like, very few shows get to do that. But I really hope we get to see more of her, because it was kind of just a little bookmark, which is fine. Like, it's better than nothing for sure. But the fact that she's also a cadet now, like, makes me think that we're gonna see her work with them more, hopefully, because it's not that it's pointless if that doesn't happen, but it would feel so much more fulfilling to me if this continued on, even if she doesn't join the squad, which, like, hey, I would love that. Like, just having them work together in, like, a bigger capacity, I think could be really satisfying.
I agree with you 100%. I hope that we get at least we get to see the conversation. I want to see a little bit more. I love that we did it. I think it's so phenomenal. I mean, we talked about how in previous therapy session, they did name off characters. And so the fact that not only do we name off the characters, and this episode decided to flashback, but we literally decided to bring her. We've wanted this for so long. The show's been on for 25 seasons. There's no reason not to do stuff like this. And I love that they chose to. I agree with you. I'd like to see more. She is a cadet. I would love to hear her say something. You know, this happened. She became a cop because of what happened to her. Or she never want, even like, I never want to be an SVU because of what happened. You know what I mean? Like anything. Give us more is all we want.
I also think it was really cool and add like a nice layer to see the hesitation from Olivia too, because it could very easily could have been like resolved in that graduation. Oh, hi. Like that would have been cool too. But I think it's a really interesting point to bring up. Like, are you afraid that she like doesn't remember you, doesn't care, all of this stuff, because it was such an important moment to her. And yeah, she was young and that was a traumatizing thing. So maybe she doesn't want to think on back on that. Maybe she, you know, there's all these what ifs. And I thought that added like a really, I was kind of confused about it at first, but then when she and Finn had that conversation, I was like, oh, I actually really appreciate that they touched on that, because that's a real thing to be nervous about.
I agree. I think the conversation with Finn was so necessary. I think that I love that they're doing this. You know, that, I mean, the episode that we're talking about, 911, was a big episode, an award-winning episode. If you go back to the AfterBuzz after shows for SVU, you can see a discussion about it. Deanna in the chat says, I hope they aren't doing it just for clip flashbacks, because they seem to be doing that a lot this season. Absolutely. And then Alexa says they need to do more of these for the majority of this short 25th season. I agree as well. I think there's just so many opportunities because the show's been on for so long that I love that we're doing it. I was having a discussion, as I am known to do, about Luda. And Ludacris's episodes are so phenomenal because it's such an amazing performance that you don't expect from Ludacris. That all I could think is he should now be the Bayard Ellis, right? Like Ludacris, who got away with murder, it would be not surprising that he then decided to go to law school and defend people. Like, and maybe do the Innocence Project, even though he is guilty. You know what I mean? Like,
also, the kids from Babes are teenagers now. Right? They must be teenagers, young teenagers.
But also, like, totally the cycle of, like,
like, I'm begging you to give me another Babes, because it would be so different. Now, like, they're on TikTok. They're on K-Dome, whatever the fuck. Like, I just think it would be so funny to like bring back not just old like inspirational people, but like old perps, children of perps, or cases that weren't like resolved, that get resolved, that we actually saw. Doubt? What if we get an answer to Doubt finally? You know what I'm saying? Like, that'd be crazy. So I think that would be really fun if they, you know, yeah, capitalize on it and more than just this way.
I do love the idea that the daughters from Babes, right? Like the kids from Babes whose moms were stupid enough to do this pregnancy pact. These girls are now being unattended and are on TikTok and like end up accidentally being OnlyFans models or something. You know what I mean? Like
literally exactly. Yeah.
Deanna in the chat says, oh, what about the music teacher returns? Which music teacher? And are you talking about Send in the Clouds?
I was thinking of the episode with the shaky eggs. What one is that?
Episode with the shaky eggs.
There's like
oh, with Billy Porter.
Yeah, I forget what happened in that episode.
The vibrating eggs, not the shaky eggs. It was a vibrator.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, that's what I think of music teacher. I'm like that one.
Oh, that's also a good one. I was also thinking of the piano teacher. Oh, there's now my brain is going through multiple piano teachers, but the one with Elizabeth Mitchell as the guest star, where she abused the little girl because her mom abused her. And then I'm also thinking of an early one where the piano teacher was abusing kids and then he gets murdered. Deanna was talking to Billy Porter. Good job, both of you.
Yay.
We could do an entire music teacher one.
Yeah, let's do it.
Other complaint, because you know I love to complain. I loved this episode, if that wasn't clear. I guess I complain the most when I love it. Finn says Tori Brock is a lunatic who gets sexually excited by dismemberment. And then Benson is like, what the fuck? And he goes, your empathy has no bounds. And I...
So weird.
So weird. It feels... It feels un-Finn-like. Mm-hmm. Also, like, it reminds me, and I'm now going to harp on this all season, Finn saying that he has her back and then continues to call her out.
Yeah, Finn is, like, the most oddly written this season, for sure. And I don't know why, but he doesn't feel like himself.
I assume that he's being written this way because we need somebody who's known her a long time to say these things. And he is the only person there. And yeah, that's it. Because like everyone else is new and can't say these things to her.
It probably would have gone to Rollins.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, like why? What's the point of them needing to say it truly? What does it add?
It felt like they wanted to just remind us of the very minor detail that I felt like was very much glossed over about getting sexually excited about dismemberment, which I'm going to get on my soapbox. Friends, as we've heard on previous episodes, I've been thinking, and I keep thinking about this a lot, is that this show literally has people with different kinks and fetishes. And instead of discussing it in like a way to normalize it, they continue to kink shame everyone. And I'm not saying that a serial killer vigilante isn't someone that we should be kink shaming. I just think that we need to, I think this is a great opportunity to not kink shame in general.
Yo.
Yeah.
Like in theory, I agree. But like, how do you safely and consensually chop someone up?
Okay, so that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we have spent 25 years saying that sadism is bad. And if you take away criminal aspects, sadism is not bad.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Is right. That this show has spent 25 years, first of all, using the term sexual sadist, which is redundant, but they have spent 25 years going, sadism bad.
Sadism bad.
I like there was an
echo. Only when it leads to things like this.
Sure. I'm not saying that what that her getting excited by dismemberment, which is another fascinating kink that they should have explored, but instead they glossed
over. And also, Tori's nothing wrong. We've established
we're pro Tori here.
Team Tori. Like, I whatever.
The fact that it was only three disappointed me. I'm gonna be honest.
That's what I'm saying. Like, okay.
When they asked her how many others, I almost wanted her to be like
20.
It like bummed me out that it was just three.
Have her join the team. Don't send her to prison. Have her join SVU. That let her catfish these dumbasses. Well.
I'm so into it. All right.
Why did we have, what's her name even? Who the hell joined the team who's knockoff Amanda? What is her name?
Sykes?
Yeah, she wasn't even in this, I don't think. So why did we kick her out and have Tori join the team?
They could team up, actually.
That's what I'm saying. You guys are cowards for not letting Tori join the team. You let everyone who walks in this precinct join the team, but not Tori? Okay. Just because she's a criminal who serial killed and chopped three people up?
For those listening to the audio version, you're missing their quotes.
Baby. Women's rights and women's wrongs, baby. It's fine.
She's not a serial killer. She's a vigilante. There's a difference.
Yeah.
Vigilante justice. Still has the word justice in it.
Right. Exactly.
All right. Let's do best lines.
Suck for that.
Okay. I have a few.
Go ahead.
All right. Life's the number one cause of death.
I hated that. Sorry.
Why? It's true.
Yeah, but it was cheesy. It's like something my mom posted on Facebook in 2011.
Damn. All right. And this is one of those deliveries that that got me. It was when Tori just went, yuck.
Yuck.
When they say that they found the dad's body in the river, she said, last time I saw him, he was sad.
No, Tori, be for fucking real right now. He's chopped up, okay?
I love the idea that she was like, oh, maybe he killed himself. Ma'am, he's dismembered.
They were like, yeah, this could not have been a suicide, actually, but I could try. Smart thinking. But
yeah. And then my other one is an interaction, and it's, you're not wrong. And you know, there's another way to say that, right? There is?
Yeah, that was good. I like that exchange. Yeah.
All right. All yours now.
I don't have any repeats of you.
Oh.
I'm a substitute teacher in public middle school. I can't afford a car in the city, let alone a hitman. Facts. He fetishizes post-mortem punishment, played with the bodies. Sounds like someone else I know. I said, Velasco kind of ate him up with that, I have to be honest. It started as a messaging app for ketamine delivery guys. I'm just like, only SVU would write that. Or maybe Riverdale or something. I loved it. They were both chatting up some username Previous Yam. I just really, really want the context of that. And finally, it looks like it adds up to about half a guy. I thought it was just an insane thing to say, and I really liked it.
I totally agree. I think also when they found the body in the water and they were like, are you sure? She's like, it's probable. I was like, you're a cop. Wait.
Yeah. Right.
Also, that could be anyway. It's the Hudson River. It could be anybody.
Yeah.
All right. So, as we know, I've given up on organized crime, but according to the commercial that happened while I was watching SVU today, apparently Cragen appeared on organized crime. So
I love that.
Yeah. Happy that he is working.
Just hung out.
I don't know. I didn't watch the episode. I don't watch that crap anymore.
Well, okay.
I can't sit through it anymore.
Our chat wants that. He wants to let us know. Our correspondent, we're hiring.
All right.
But we're hiring if you want to be our OC correspondent.
Wow. Taylor's making decisions left and right. And I approve.
We're hiring. I'm just saying we are hiring somebody. We need someone to tell us.
I approve this hiring. I will say this. I didn't watch it. I can't sit through that. It sucks. And for those who enjoy it, I'm not yucking your yum. I'm happy for you. Yeah. It's just, yuck. It's not for me.
I'm so sorry. We shouldn't do this on Monday because I'm on a different plane of existence.
I think we should definitely keep doing this on Monday. Your behavior is incredible.
Absurd.
Anyway. All right. So if you checked out our last episode, you know that there was a fan event in New York that happened. And I'm going to be really honest with everybody. I have some serious FOMO and I'm incredibly jealous of anyone who went. And I hate you so much.
No one planned our trip.
But I have some photos to share from what happened. So here they are.
Aww.
So first of all,
coffee time.
He was there 2 days, if not three, handing out coffees.
Oh my god, that is an iconic suit. I like it. I would wear that.
If you're listening to the audio version, you're missing all of the photos. And they had the Ben & Co. Coffee Company. Oh, I'm so jealous. I
didn't get to go.
I know. I'm literally so upset.
Slay.
Bruno Velasco showed up. There was like a subway stop that had Olivia Benson present for photos. They sold so much cool swag.
Aww.
I'm so jealous. They changed the street sign to Olivia Benson Plaza.
That is so cool.
All right. The coffee that you could order was a latte in order.
I like that.
Abe Benson's Captain Chino.
Okay, okay.
Carisi's Classic Americano. Cup of Joe Velasco. Bruno's Blend, which is decaf. That feels offensive. And then, of course, an iced tea.
Finn's iced tea. My God. That's fun. I have to give kudos because sometimes with the themed names, I'll see and I'm like, okay, these are clever. I like those.
As clever as they are, and I do appreciate them, I think it is very odd to have Bruno and Velasco.
Yeah.
Like, I get that they're currently on the show, but Stabler.
You guys should have called Curry.
Also, yes.
Just Curry.
All right, so those are...
Cute.
Those are all the official, or not all of them, but those are official photos from NBC Universal. A lot of fans were there. It seemed really cool. Also, what's her face? Stabler's daughter, Kathleen,
mm-hmm.
was there as well. Yeah. She was also there.
Cool.
So that's that one. Do you have any shower thoughts?
Not off the top of my head.
That's okay. I learned two things, so we can jump to that.
Yeah. Sorry. You guys can skip the shower today.
If you're listening in the shower, I'm so sorry that we have no thoughts for you. But what did we learn? I learned two things.
Let me know.
Okay. So the coffee thing, the coffee beans thing. So if you've ever been to like a Sephora in the perfume department, they have like little things of coffee beans.
Yeah.
A little jar to smell between scents to help like reopen your whatever. And because of that and this thing that Finn did, I went, what is coffee and smell? So here's what I found. Coffee beans work as a natural deodorizer. Oh. It can absorb smell in your cabinets, fridge, drawers, and any other corner of the house if you want to remove the odor. Put dried coffee beans in a tiny bowl, place them in your refrigerator, and you will notice how it absorbs the smell and makes your fridge odor-free.
That's really good to know. I've always said baking soda, but I like the coffee bean idea better.
Yeah. The other thing I learned, this is a real weird specific one. It like occurred to me as Tori was explaining like her feelings and she talked about her head being in a vice. It occurred to me that I don't necessarily know what a vice actually is. So I looked it up. and I've seen like a bench vice. Like that is a thing I've seen many a times. It's like the thing with the spinny thing that gets tighter and narrower and whatever to like hold shit in place. Did not know that was called a vice.
I didn't either. That's a good point.
Yeah. So those are two things I learned.
I have one. Well, I had two because the coffee bean thing I also learned. But I also learned what kerf marks are. Because I said that and I said, I don't know that I've heard that term. Or if I have, I don't remember. And it's bones are examined to identify any remnants of tool marks, also called kerf marks, that might indicate a traumatic injury. So it's exactly what it sounds like in context of the thing. But I was like, I'm going to look that up because that's a term that I was not familiar with.
Nice. It's that was your vice.
That was my vice. Kerf and vices. That's like hard to say in a row. Kerfs and vices.
For those who don't know or who are listening, I don't know, for anybody who wants to know, we are on iTunes. And if you leave us a rating and review, we'll read the review live on the air, good or bad. If you like us, give us 5 stars. If you don't like us, give us 4 stars. The other stars are broken. Or at least that's what we say. I'm going to read this review in a second. Broken. Here's why I'm... Do you know that we have mostly 5-star reviews, which we appreciate so much, but we have 0 4-star reviews and we have some 3-2 and ones.
Oh my God. What the hell, you guys?
I'm telling you, the stars are broken. It sounds like people hit 4 and the other ones like bounced in.
They just absorbed them weirdly. Crazy.
all right. So this is our newest review. It comes from Nanatez77. 5 stars.
Oh, I was going to say, this is one of the not fives. I'm going to be sad.
5 stars, and the title is Obsessed. My sister Alexa, who is a regular, turned me on to this podcast and I'm obsessed. I couldn't stop laughing at last week's podcast when they mentioned baby mama. That's the review. Thank you so much. First of all, thank you, Alexis, for sharing our show.
Oh my God, that's so fun. We're keeping it in the fam.
And thank you so much, NanaTest77, for the review. So appreciated. Also, baby mama. Oh man. What is this? Oh, Alexa says, Big Sis introduced me to the Lottery Universe way back, and I had to repair by giving her the podcast. Really
sweet. Oh my God. I love it so much.
Sisters. Well, now I have some shower thoughts. Anyway.
Move on.
Moving on. For those who don't know, we sell silly merch. Okay, guys, we Mondays are Alexa. Alexa said, "Keep it in the family."
We cannot have you guys end up on you. Okay. No.
Oh, Taylor, this episode has been so fun. What did I miss anything? Have we talked about everything? Have I done all the things?
Merch. You know the drill by now. Find it in links, and buy it and wear it and love it. So.
The fact that I saw no photos of everyone, well, people were wearing their own like SVU merch to the event, but I didn't see anybody wearing RSVU merch at the event.
Respectful.
Also, I did request, this is going to sound silly, I asked my brother to go to the Benson Plaza and get me free swag or whatever and get pictures and stuff. My brother is so anti-copaganda that he was like, how dare you ask me?
He's kind of real for that. We will allow it.
I totally understood his rejection. We get into a lot of discussions, specifically when I visit him in New York and I go, oh, this is where this happened on his view. And he goes, shut up.
Yeah, we'll allow that.
Yeah. All right, Taylor, until next episode, which also will not be on a Sunday. And I make no promise of when things will be. I'm going to be honest. It's my fault, again, that the next 4 weeks, if there are episodes for the next 4 weeks straight, will not be on our regular time. That's on me.
They will be talked about eventually. Don't you worry.
Yes, there's no way we're missing it. You know how much it was really hard for me not to talk to you about this episode yesterday.
I know.
But until we return with a new episode of S Review, Taylor, where are you on the internet and what are you up to these days?
I'm on Twitter still at @alphabet_. You shake your head every time. This is not going to deter me. I am also on Instagram at @Taylor_Gates_.
I'm trying not to yuck your yum.
Yuck.
Yuck. I am Yael Teagle. I'm everywhere at Yael Teagle. That's YAELTYGIEL everywhere being Instagram. I also have a smut book review account called Good Little Library Mouse. And if you're wondering why I've become so much more, I guess more than usual, pro kinks, that's why. It's affecting me very poorly and greatly. Yep. All right. Okay. We'll see you guys next time. Hopefully we keep it more on track. That's a lie.
Probably not. Anyway.
Bye.